Today on TNN, we're going to take you into the sanctuary of Solid Rock Church. Yesterday, I preached a message that I feel like that I need to share with you today called The Call That Echoes. We want to say happy Thanksgiving. Hope that everybody had a wonderful time with friends and family, but now it's time to get back to the King's business. So let's go.
Welcome to True North Nation. This was brought to you by Solid Rock Church in Irving, Texas, where we bring you true direction in a lost world. Now let's hear it from our host, Pastor Ed Snyder.
And so today we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Then we'll flip over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Here we go in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who have called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach to you today a call that echoes, a call that echoes. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your power and your spirit, your anointing. I feel your presence in this building today. I pray, God, that you will anoint and touch every ear to hear, every heart to receive, every mind to comprehend your word today. Anoint my lips of clay to speak the gospel today. I want my words to be your words and my thoughts your thoughts. Lord, let us receive word and spirit. Let us have an altar today filled with souls hungry, Lord, to answer the call of God in their lives. I pray, God, that you'll do miracles. I pray that you'll awaken our awareness to what you're trying to do in our lives. We give you all the praise and glory for this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. God bless you. May be seated. There are different types of calls that you and I make. Of course, we make a call when there's trouble around the house, when somebody is shooting it down the street. We make a call to the police. And when you smell smoke in your house and it's not the turkey burning, we might want to make a call to the fire department. Of course, you know, sometimes we just need to go to the caffeine pub and get a cup of coffee. And so we're going to call a friend and maybe go get a cup of coffee. And then, of course, you know, here are the holidays, and I'm sure there are calls being made to family members planning turkey dinners last week. And, of course, we're coming up on Christmas and New Year's, and there'll be more travel, and there'll be more family get-togethers, and you'll be making phone calls to family members to make those arrangements. And then there is also another call that, you know, when we get in trouble where the police can't really help and the fire department can't really help and the friend can't touch it and the family member you don't want involved, there's a call upon God. We call upon God for our troubles. We should call upon God for our needs. But there's one thing for sure about all those calls that I just shared with you. You always get an answer. If you call the police department, you'll get an answer. Somebody's going to call. And if you call the fire department, somebody will pick up the phone. And of course, if you call a friend, if it's a good friend, usually they're going to answer. If they don't answer, they'll call you back, but you're going to make a connection. And of course, a family member, if it's the right family member, you'll get an answer. And then, of course, when you call upon God, you always get an answer. Amen, somebody. You always get some kind of response to the calls that I just listed out. We also have, in addition to that, another kind of call that are called voices. Voices call out to us in our lives. Of course, we have the voice of the past calling upon us. And a lot of times, the voice of the past is labeled regrets. Sometimes our regrets speak to us. They remind us of something that we did do or did not do or should have done but didn't do or whatever. All of us have regrets. I just pray that when I hit the grave or the trumpet sounds that I don't end my life with too many regrets. I want to be wise in my choices. And then, of course, another voice that calls out to us is the voice of the present. Those things that are important that we need to get done. And there's also some urgencies that are really poking at us, and urgent that it's, we get this done. It's urgent that we make this or do this or whatever, or the honey-do list is getting too long and it's becoming urgent that we get that done. And then, of course, another voice of the present called distractions. Distractions call out to us when we're over here and we're supposed to be focused on doing thus and so and this and all of that. Then another voice crops up and calls to us, and it's a distraction. It's reels from Facebook or Instagram. It's this, or, boy, I must be on reels or something. I mentioned that in Sunday school this morning. Anyhow, so we've got all kinds of different, the phone rings. Somebody calls us and distracts us from what we need to be doing, or whatever that distraction is. And then there's one more voice that calls to us that probably we should be listening to, and that is our future. What is ahead of us? Where are we headed to? What's going on in our life? What do we need to fix now to be able to answer the call of the future? What is the future beholding in our lives? Where is God taking us? What is God speaking to us? And then, of course, we tend to hear what we always want to hear and not necessarily need to hear. You see, there's a call to marriage. We hear that call to marriage, and that's a call, young men and young ladies that are in the room and on our virtual campus, that you really need to take wise choice and consider that deeply and do some prayer and fasting before you answer that call to marriage, because if you marry up with the wrong person, you're in trouble.
Yes.
That's right. Most women hear a call at a certain point in their life to have children. You know, there's a biological clock, alarm clock, that starts going off in a woman's body. I need to be a mother. I remember back in the day, Sister Snyder and I, we were married 18 years before we had kids. We wanted to get to know each other before we started having a family. Actually, we went through 4 failed adoptions and lost 2 children in that 18 years. I personally just decided, okay, God, it's your will. It's just, kids are not in our future. And I had to settle with that. But oh, not her. That clock, that call was speaking loud. And she kept petitioning God, I want to have children. Mother's Day became very painful for her. Very painful for her, because everybody was celebrating mothers. And she was not a mother. Until one day we got a call. And an adoption was available. We went to classes, and we did all of the requirements that the county required us to do. And we had 2 boys, twin boys, that we were going to adopt. And we left on a Christmas break and out of Stockton. And our case manager told us, we'll talk more about this. Well, I got a call while we were on that Christmas break and said, Ed, his situation has happened. A family member has come to the surface and wants to adopt those boys. I said, okay, what does it look like? He says, well, it's going to be 2 years of red tape. You can either pass or decide to go with it. I said, pass. Because I know the call was loud. And she said, perfect. I knew exactly what you were going to say. And I've got this little baby, 6-month-old baby girl waiting on you. And it was a basketball with legs when we met her for the first time. The big old cheeks and hair just went everywhere. and she's just round. She had rolls on the front and the back of her knees. I mean, she was a butterball and just as cute as can be. A smile that was deceiving. And then we answered that call. We adopted Mariah when she was 6 months old. She moved in January of 98. We signed finalization on her adoption in September of 98. And Marcus was born in November of 98. And we went knee deep in diapers. Then later, my wife said, I think I want to have a third one. I said, I think you've lost your mind. Amen. Because we were kind of late in life having children, and because we wanted to get to know each other before we started having a family. So we have that, mothers have that call. There is also another call attached to that call of being a mother, is a call to your children. Your children are always calling for you. Dad, I need a 20. Dad, can I have the keys to the car? Can I? But there is a call to our children that they need direction and they need guidance. There's a call from the world that's always nagging at us. Sin will never stop coming after you. The call will always ring for you to come back to the world. Come back to your life of sin. It's there and it will never go away. There's also a call from our forefathers that have gone before us, both patriotic and in our country, but also the forefathers of the church, those pioneers, those people that got the eggs thrown at them and the rotten tomatoes because they were out under a brush harbor worshiping God and preaching the gospel. Stories of C.P. Kilgore that would go to a town and set up an old brush harbor, and there for weeks he would preach and he would get made fun of and he would get threatened and he would get eggs thrown at him and all of that. But there's churches all over Texas because of C.P. Kilgore. In fact, there's a story that's an amazing story. I forget the town. Somebody just shouted out if you know it. But he was in this town. We met somebody that was from there where that little pond was. There was a pond that was snake infested and they had no place to baptize. And there was a bunch of people that needed to baptize back in those days. And so Brother Kilgore says, we have a pond and we're going to baptize. But Brother Kilgore, that place is snake infested. God will take care of that. And they said when he put his foot in the edge of that water, you can see the water start to trickle where all of those snakes scattered across that pond and went out the bank and left that pond. It was snake free. And they went in and baptized all those people in that pond. Somebody, I can't remember, we met them and she said, Sister Shrum is from that town. And she said, to this day, there's not a snake in that pond.
Praise God.
Hello. Something about the call of God. Something about the call of those forefathers. I'm big on our history. I want to make sure I can stay connected to my roots. In my office, there's a shelf, and on that shelf is some very, very old books, songbooks. They're my great grandmother's songbooks. They're my grandmother's songbooks. I've got my father's Bible and my dad's Bible. My sister's got my mother's Bible. I hang on to those items not because they're sacred to me, because they remind me where I'm from. There's a picture in my office. It's a panoramic picture before panoramic pictures were invented. It was photos that are taped together. It's dated June of 1954, and it's the first Sunday in the second church of my family's church in North St. Louis. All my family is in that picture, of course, but me, I wasn't born yet. But it's my history. It's where I'm from, where my great grandmother came into that church and prayed through the Holy Ghost. And Brother Gwynn discipled her and she raised my grandmother and my mother and my family got married there. It's my history. It's my forefathers. And I never want to stop hearing their call to stay true to the truth of God's word, to stay true to the apostolic life and live for God. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
We all have voices that call unto us, but we've got to understand, what are you hearing? It's just like me preaching today. I know what I'm saying. I know the words coming out of my mouth. I know the notes that I have written to prepare for this message. What I don't know is what you're hearing. There's filters on every person, and you could be receiving this message one way, another way that I never intended for it to go. I've had many times in my ministry, people come, "Oh, Brother Snyder, that was a great message. It really hit me." And they tell me how it hit me. And I'm like, "I didn't touch top side or bottom of that." But that's what they heard. You see, that's how God works. You throw the word out there and they answer the call that they need to hear from God. Somebody shout amen. You see, it's about that hearing. We need to fine tune our hearing so that we can hear the call of God in our lives. There's a story that I've shared with you before, but I pulled it back out and added it to my notes today. And it's the story of the cricket. And here's how it goes. A Native American and his friend were walking through Times Square in Midtown New York. During lunch hour, the streets were filled with people. Cars were honking their horns. Taxis were squealing around the corners. Sirens were wailing, and the sounds of the city were almost deafening. Suddenly, the Native American says, "I hear a cricket." His friend said, "What? You got to be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket in this noise." No, I'm sure of it." The Native American said, "I hear a cricket." "That's crazy," the friend insisted. The Native American listened very carefully for a moment and then walked across the street to a big cement planter filled with shrubs. He looked under the branches, and sure enough, he found a small cricket. His friend was amazed, utterly amazed. "That's incredible," his friend said. You must have superhuman hearing ears." "No," the Native American said. "My ears are no different from yours. It all depends on what you're listening for." That can't be," said the friend. I could have never heard the cricket in this noise." "Yes, that's true," came the reply. "It depends on what's really important to you." "Here, let me show you," said the Native American. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a few coins and discreetly dropped them on the sidewalk. Then, with the noise of the crowded streets still blaring in their ears, they noticed every head within 20 feet turned and looked to see if the money that had tinkled on the pavement was theirs. You see what it means when you hear what you want to hear. The Native American said, "It all depends on what's important to you." God has been calling unto us. Yes. He's been calling to us unto salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14, "To which he had called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." That call unto you for salvation, God has been echoing that call in your ears and in your heart for some time. I want to ask you that are in this building and you that are on the virtual campus, have you answered the call unto salvation? Next Sunday, we've got Baptism Sunday. We're going to be baptizing LG next Sunday for sure, and his daughter, who is Marcus's former boss, who he has been witnessing to for 3 years. And finally, he heard the call and said, I want to be baptized." We got more in this room that are possibly going to get baptized, but you've got to want to hear the call of salvation to be answered, or to answer that call. And then, of course, in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "To all who are in Rome," amen, "to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." We have a call to be saints. Before I became a pastor, before I became an evangelist, before I became a minister, before I answered the call into ministry, I first had to answer the call to be a saint of God. You see, you answer that call of salvation and you become a brand new Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. But now there's a calling that may be calling unto you that I need to be a saint of God. Now, saint in this day and age, some people say, boy, that's an old word. Well, there's some things that's not, old words are not always bad.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
In fact, I think it's outdated already, but these kids used to say, man, that's sick. I'm like, what? You about to puke? You got a fever? What's wrong? That meant in my day, you had the flu. But in their day, it's like, man, that looks good. We'd say, well, it looks sharp. Moving along. Since I didn't get any amens out of that one. Hallelujah. Call to be a saint. In other words, let me use a modern word. Call to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, it's important that we answer the call that echoes in our ears and in our heart, that not only do we answer the call of salvation, but you need to answer the call to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be Christ-like, to live for God day in, day out, 24/7, 7 days a week, 52 days or 52 weeks a year. Amen. It's God has called you to be a saint. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says there that the Lord called Samuel. Amen, somebody.
Yes.
I need verses. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, the Bible says that before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, that the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying there, the Lord called to Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And so he ran to Eli and said, here am I, you called me. And he said, I did not call you, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Three times God called unto Samuel, and he finally said, under the instruction that when you hear that again, just say, here am I, Lord. I answer. You see, God is calling you. You think it's somebody. You think it might be even me, and I'm your pastor, yes, and I'm honored to be your pastor. And sometimes I can be the instrument that God speaks to you with, but you need to hear the voice of God in your life. You need to hear the voice of God calling you to go and do this, or maybe don't do that, or go here, or go there, or don't go there, or don't go here. Somebody shout amen. It's important that we develop our walk with God. It's important that we develop our calling of God to be a saint, that we can hear the voice of God in our life. In other words, it's called conviction. God convicts us about to go or do. He can convict us about doing something, maybe praying more or witnessing more or getting more involved. But he can also be calling unto us, don't do that anymore. That's a violation of my word. I'm not pleased with that action in your life. And it's called conviction. Conviction can be a plus and conviction can be a minus, but it's important that you hear the call of God unto your life. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
And then, of course, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, the Bible, and it's the base of our new book that's coming out, and that is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, everybody shout, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God is calling his church to prayer. If my people, that's a conditional word, if you will pray, if you will humble yourself, if you will seek my face, then I will turn, I will heal, hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Yes.
But we got to answer the call of God to pray. And then, of course, we're called to a deeper relationship with him in Psalm chapter 47 and verse number 7. The Bible says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. God is calling us into a deeper relationship. Somewhere in this message, I have hit every level of your growth, whether you need salvation for the first time, or you need discipleship, or you need to get into prayer, or you need to deepen your walk with God to where you can hear the voice of God speak to you about things. And then, of course, if you've been in the church for 50 years, God's still calling us to a deeper walk with him. Oh, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Are we hearing the call or the purpose of God in our lives? Again, you only hear what you want to hear. Are you listening to the world or are you listening to God? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, our text that we read. You need to understand who you are. You're a chosen generation. Oh, I'm nobody special. My family this and my family that. I don't care about none of that, and God doesn't either. But in the kingdom of God, you are a chosen generation.
Yes.
We've got things happening in our world that none of our generations before us experienced. They preached about and talked about wars and rumors of war. They thought Vietnam might have been that. And definitely Vietnam was a war. But they haven't seen the level that we see.
Yeah.
They preached against sin and the onslaught of sin and how sin is getting so bad. They haven't seen what we've seen.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. Do you understand that? The Bible speaks that when we come to salvation, we are born again. We are born of the water and of the Spirit. We are reborn in the Spirit of God. It's called a new birth experience because God has called us unto salvation. Therefore, you are born into a royal family. How is that, Pastor? Because the Bible says he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It also says that you are his child. And the Bible says that when you are his child, you are now a prince and an heir of Jesus Christ. What he has, we have. We have special privileges because we are of a royal priesthood. We're of a holy nation. Amen. The Bible says his own special people. You're special.
Right.
I'm special,
right.
Ed.
Yeah.
My wife likes me more because we went on vacation.
Yeah.
She failed to see how special I was. Here, it says that you proclaim. Huh? That you may proclaim. What did we do at tithes and offering time? We made a proclamation of blessing. There it is again. That you may proclaim the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. Now, folks, if you're here, and I'm glad you're here, and I'm thankful that you're a part of Solid Rock, but if you walk out of here today and tomorrow morning you wake up and you go back to the sin that God just called you out of, you got a problem. Because you're not coming out of the darkness that God has called you out of. You cannot serve two masters. You're going to wind up hating the one and love the other. You can't straddle the fence and expect the blessing of God and the favor of God to be upon you. You got to make a decision. God has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You can only hear what you want to hear. Verse 10, for who once were not a people. Uh-oh, now I'm going to hurt your pride. Here it comes. It's going to pinch. You were a nobody before you came to God. I don't care how big your house is or was. I don't care what kind of cars you drive. I don't care what kind of money you have in your bank or don't have in your bank. I don't care about none of that. You were a nobody before you came to God. Because when God doesn't know you, when you're not in the family of God, nothing counts. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
You all right? Everybody okay? Amen. But we're not a people, but are now the people of God who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen, somebody. Before you came to God, before you answered your call to salvation, your call into being a saint of God or discipleship, you didn't have any mercy on you, but God graciously gave you mercy when you hit the altar in repentance and baptized in Jesus' name. Now you've obtained mercy. Now you've obtained grace. Why? Because there's a call that echoes and we need to answer the call.
Yes.
We're chosen. God has picked you for a purpose. You need to understand your background. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of you. It doesn't matter what the world's opinion of you or your walk with God. I don't care what they think. I care what God thinks. Hello? Now, I don't want to be at war with everybody around me. I don't want to just on purpose cross swords with people in my life. I want to be friends with them. I want to win them. I want to love on them. I'm a people lover. I love people. But when it gets down to you need to do thus and so everybody will like you. I'm not in it for a popularity contest. I'm in it for a God contest.
Right.
I'm a royal priesthood.
Yes.
I'm a holy nation. Are you better than they are? No. I was a sinner just like everybody else, but God gave grace and mercy and made something out of me.
Thank you.
He's called you out of darkness. Bible also says another calling, and that is, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we're going to build a commune and we're all going to live together and not associate with the world. No. We're not of the world. We're insulated. We're not isolated. Because if the world can't see God in us, how's the world going to see us? See God. Hello, somebody. But God is saying, come out from them and be separate. Get out of the sin. Get out of all of the iniquity. Get out of the muck and the mire. There's a calling of God on every one of our lives today. Are you in?
To find out more about finding that true destination, visit us at truenorthdfw.org.